And really, we just want you to know we're praying for you. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray that you'll just surround them, Lord, with your love. We thank you that, Lord, you're a God full of compassion. You're a God who never leaves us. And even when we're going through difficult times, you are there. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I pray for Rita, Lord, and I pray for Phil. I pray, Lord, for Stuart, that you'll just surround them with the wonderful presence and love of the Lord at this difficult time. We pray, oh God, that they will know that the arms of God are all around them and underneath them. Hallelujah. Be their comfort, Holy Spirit. Do what you came to do. May the Paraclete, the Comforter, bring great comfort to their lives in Jesus' name. Pray for Sylvia, Lord, as she's going into hospital for this exploratory operation. I pray that, Lord, you will bless her. I pray that, Lord, even before she goes, whatever's wrong, you will do the work. In the name of Jesus, Sylvia, be made well in the name of the Lord. May the peace of God flood your life, and may you know his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The funeral service for Duncan is on Thursday, and it's at 10:30 at New Life Church. And I'm sure if you're able to be there, you will be there. There's refreshments after in the back room at once the cottage has come back from the committal at Teesside Cram. But we'll be giving thanks to God for Duncan's life on Thursday at 10:30. Tonight, two of our churches are meeting in Redcar and in Stockton, and I don't have to drum up any support, because you know how important it is that we support and we pray and we look to God for breakthrough in Redcar and Stockton, 6:30 in both venues. Life groups are meeting this week, throughout the week, and on Friday evening, we have the visit of John Partington. John Partington's the national leader of Assemblies of God. Can I just have some indication of how many folks will be coming on Friday night? Just put your hands up. If you can be here, please come. It's going to be a great night. Thank you. And for those who didn't put their hands up, it means that you've got some pressing prior engagement. And if you can put that off and try and be here, then please do so. Friday night at 7 o'clock in this venue. On Monday night, this coming Monday night, there's a singer's practice for the musicians. And did I say singer's practice? Well, it will be a singer's practice and a musician's practice on Monday night at 7 o'clock. Turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8. We're now in chapter 8. And we're going to read from verse 18. And the words will come up on the screen. Thank you, lads, for those who just want to follow it on the screen. We're reading from Joshua chapter 8 and verse 18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched the spear that was in his hand towards the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered the city, and they took it. And they hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on their pursuers. Now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back, and they struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them. So they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down, so that they left none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive, and they brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai, and they struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as a booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai, and he made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us this morning. I've entitled what I want to share with you this morning, Turning the Place of Defeat into the Place of Victory. Last week we were in Joshua chapter 7. And we saw in that chapter the hosts of Israel in disarray and defeat. Ai was the second city next to Jericho. They'd taken Jericho. They'd had a tremendous victory. Ai was the next city along. And at Ai, they had suffered a dreadful defeat. And we saw last week, there was sin in the camp. And the reason that they had been defeated was because of the sin. Achan, the son of Carmi, had taken the accursed thing, and the Bible says the anger of the Lord burnt against Israel. Achan's confession when he was found out was, "I saw, I coveted, and I took." Three steps to sin that are outlined for us in the New Testament. I saw, the lust of the eyes. I coveted, the lust of the flesh. And I took, the pride of life. These three sins, friends, are all too prevalent in our lives. I saw, I took, I coveted. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And last week, I trust that we learned some valuable lessons that need to be etched upon our hearts. And I just want us just to think again of some of the things that we learned from what we heard last week. Number one, we can live in victory one day, and the next day we can know what it is to fail. The Bible says, "He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall." And friends, we are none of us immune from falling. The victories of today do not guarantee the victories of tomorrow. The second thing, one man's sin can affect the whole. One man, one woman, sinning can affect the whole. A little leaven, the Bible says, affects the whole. A little bit of yeast, a little bit of leaven can affect the whole. It is the same with sin. Another thing that we learned, we cannot stand before our enemies while we have sin in our hearts. While that sin remains covered and unconfessed, we cannot stand before our enemies. Another thing that we learned, that God is gracious and he gives space for repentance. Aren't you glad about that? God is gracious. He gives us time to put it right. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, the Bible says. He gives space for repentance. And another thing that we learned, we must deal with sin ruthlessly. We cannot afford to play with it, harbor it. It must be dealt with ruthlessly. We are not even told to pray about it. We are told to deal with it. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand or left hand offends you, cut it off. Friends, sin must be cut off. And it's no doubt that the defeat at Ai had a devastating effect upon all of the children of Israel. The Bible says in verse 5, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Everybody was affected by what had happened. Even Joshua and the elders of Israel were affected. The judgment of God upon Achan brought no consolation to Joshua or the entire nation. They had suffered a defeat. And although the sin had been exposed and the sin had been dealt with ruthlessly by God, the morale of the people at this time was at an all-time low. Why have you troubled us? Were the words of Joshua to Achan. Why have you troubled us? Friends, future generations, history would record Achan as the troubler of Israel. And in chapter 8 and verse 1, we read of the condition of Joshua's heart at this time. God said to him, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed." How many know that God doesn't tell you not to be afraid or dismayed unless you are? And so it's obvious at this time that Joshua was afraid and dismayed. Friends, fear can paralyze us. When we are dismayed, we are downcast. We are depressed. We are demoralized. And it's sometimes that these things grip our lives. We become paralyzed. We can't move. We are depressed, demoralized. We don't know which way to turn. We become downcast. Note something here, friends, that is very, very important for us to realize. Sin can be confessed, and sin can be forsaken, and God can forgive, and yet the effects of sin can still have a devastating effect upon the people of God. Things had been dealt with, and yet the whole of Israel was still paralyzed by fear, downcast, dismayed, and disheartened. Sin can leave us with a mindset of defeat and failure, instead of a mindset of conquest and victory. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And I want to say this morning, some Christians, they never ever recover from the defeats in their lives. Some Christians never ever rise again from having failed God and failed in the battle. Friends, let me say this morning, every one of us here this morning have lost battles. My understanding of the Second World War was that during the Second World War, we lost as a nation many battles. In fact, there was one time when it looked as though Hitler was ready to pounce upon our nation and demoralize it. I think he talked about wringing the chicken's neck or something. And it was Churchill who stood and said, "Some chicken, some neck. We lost many battles, but friends, let me say this. We didn't lose the war. History records that we won the war. And listen, church, we can lose some battles, but we can win the war. And as we walk through this life, we are going to lose some battles. But I thank God we can win the war. The Bible is silent as to how long Joshua and Israel, even after Achan's sin had been dealt with, they sat in this state of fear and despondency. The Bible doesn't tell us. I don't know how long it was before the Lord said to Joshua. But I do know this, friends. Unless the Lord had said something to him, Joshua would have still been sitting there, and the land of Canaan would have never been taken. The word of the Lord came to Joshua. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given it into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Hallelujah. Friends, if ever believers needed assurance to get up from the place of defeat and to get on with the task that God has given us to do, it's today. Do not be afraid or dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. How many people were there? Well, the Bible says there were 600,000 soldiers. That's why we sometimes get the estimate of approximately 3 million people. There was 500,000 men more, 600,000, who were trained and ready and prepared for battle. Notice what Joshua said, the Lord said, take all the men of war with you and go up to Ai. For the place of failure, the place of defeat, was going to become the place of victory. Take all the men of war with you. Brothers and sisters, I believe this morning that God wants to lift our morale. We've all suffered at the hands of the enemy. And defeat can affect us all. It can devastate us. But I want to say this, friends, this morning. God's will for our lives is that we are winners and not losers. That we are the head and not the tail. That we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us the strength. So that the place of failure in my life, in your life, can become the place of victory. The word of the Lord that came to Joshua was the same word I believe that God wants to bring to this congregation this morning. Arise, arise, arise. This wasn't the first time that this word had come to Joshua. Before he ever entered the land, the word of the Lord came to him, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I have promised them. Arise. And now the word of the Lord comes again to Joshua, arise. Friends, what a lot is conveyed to us by these three simple words after the word of the Lord had come to Joshua. Arise. And very simply, the word of God in a brushstroke says, so Joshua arose. Hallelujah. What a lot is conveyed to us in those words. So Joshua arose. Church, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say this morning, it's time to arise. It's time to get up. It's time to get up from defeat, from fear, from dismay, from despondency, from the battles that you might have lost. It's time to arise. The word of the Lord that the Lord gave Israel through the prophet Isaiah is very relevant to us today. In Isaiah 60, we read these words, "Arise and shine. For the glory of the Lord, it rests upon you." Friends, I believe God is saying to us, arise. There is a glory, there is an anointing upon the church of the living God. We have an anointing this morning from the Holy One. And that anointing dwells within us. Let me say this morning, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And it's time to arise. And Joshua arose. You know, friends, we cannot arise, going back to what I said earlier, unless sin is dealt with. Once it's confessed and forsaken, once it's no longer covered, we can then arise. We can get on with the job that God has given us to do. Chapter 8, what we're dealing with this morning, it follows chapter 7. Chapter 7 deals with defeat. Chapter 8 deals with victory after defeat. Can I ask you this morning, where are you living? Where have you put your signpost as a believer? In chapter 7? In disarray and defeat? Or in chapter 8, where the place of defeat becomes for you the place of victory? You know, friends, Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, it deals with the law of sin and death. It deals with our fleshly nature. Are we living in chapter 5, 6, or 7? Or are we living in chapter 8, where the Word of God tells us that we are free from indwelling sin by the power of the living Christ? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. This morning I want us to focus our attention on how the place of defeat became the place of victory. Once sin had been dealt with, and once sin has been dealt with in our lives, there are some positive things that we can do that can move us into a place of victory. We'll be taking this up in the life groups during the week. So Joshua arose. He arose believing the word of the Lord that had come to him. Now the Lord said to Joshua, after sin has caused us to be defeated, once it's been confessed and forsaken, we can either do one of two things. We can either believe what our feelings tell us, or we can choose to believe what the Word of God says. And the problem, friends, with many of us, we live not according to the Word, but we live according to our feelings. We really do not believe what God's Word says, that if we cover our sin, we're not going to prosper. But if we will confess it and forsake it, then we will find mercy from the Lord. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from what? How much? How much is all? Everything. As far, God says, as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. The Bible says that sin will not have dominion over us. You see, friends, the Word of God comes to us And God's word speaks to us of victory. It speaks to us of conquest. It speaks to us of living in triumph. It speaks to us when it says, resist the devil. And he will what? He will what? What does flee mean? He'll run away. Stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Give no place to the devil. You see, if we give him a place, let me tell you, he'll take it. If we make room for him, if you put bread out for birds, you're going to attract the birds. And friends, there are some things that attract demonic power. There are some things that open the door. The Bible says sin lies at the door. And there are some things that attract the presence of evil. That's why the Bible says don't give him any room. Don't give him anything to feed on. On the day of Pentecost, God gave gifts to the church. He gave the greatest gift of all when he gave the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to the church. Suddenly there was a sound like as of a mighty rushing wind. Friends, what happened couldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened had the disciples not obeyed the word of the Lord. Jerusalem, let me say this, Jerusalem was the last place on earth the disciples wanted to be. Every one of them to a man had forsook him and fled. Some had already been to Galilee. Some had already gone to Galilee. You see, Jerusalem, as far as they were concerned, it was a place of failure. All of you, Jesus said, shall forsake me, but not I. The big man, not I, Lord. All these might, but not me. And yet the Bible says every one of them to a man forsook him and fled. It was at Jerusalem that their dreams and their aspirations had been brought to an abrupt end. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus? We thought this was the one. We thought he would restore the kingdom of God back to Israel. We thought he was the one. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was outpoured, this place that had been a place of failure became a place of victory. The man who said, not me, never, ever, he said it over and over again. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me twice, you'll deny me three times. And on the day of Pentecost, this man, at the very place where he'd failed, just outside the door of that upper room where he'd had so much failure, the Bible says he stood with boldness and said, you stiff-necked, you men of Jerusalem, you have crucified the Holy One of Israel. And he began to speak the word of the Lord boldly, powerfully to them. All because these disciples believed the word that God had said, stay in Jerusalem. John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire not many days from now. And this little verse in Acts 1, they returned to Jerusalem. I'm glad that verse is there, aren't you? The place of failure became for every one of them the place of victory. And the Acts of the Apostles tells a lovely story of the place of failure becoming the place of victory. Friends, are you believing the word of God, what God says? Not what you think, not what you feel, not what the devil whispers, not at the condemnation that comes to you, but do you believe what God says, that you are more than a conqueror? that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. So Joshua arose, not believing his feelings, but the word of the Lord that came to him. Can I say, we will never arise unless we begin to believe the word of God. Unless we begin to believe God and not our feelings. Because some of us feel failures. Some of us feel as though we'll never make it. Some of us believe the lie of the devil when he says we're rubbish. We're too bad for God to forgive. We've gone away too far to come back. Friends, that's a lie of the devil. God says he knows the plans that he has for us. So Joshua arose, believing the word of God. He arose with a strategy to defeat the enemy. The last time the soldiers had confronted the men of Israel, they had been badly beaten. This time, when they went into battle, a well-thought-out plan was devised to ensure that the enemy would be defeated. The Lord said, take all the men of war. 600,000 of them. Take all the men of war. Friends, would to God, all of God's people were men of war. Friends, we are at war. There are some Christians, friends, playing around. You would think it was a nursery. We are at war. God has called us to warfare. Take all the men of war. You know, we used to sing that song years ago. Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. I believe that the church, friends, believers, in this time in which we are living, have got so soft, so soppy, so little things, they go off in tantrums. And God help us, friends. We are at war. We are called to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. 30,000 men were positioned behind the city at night. He sent 30,000 of them behind Ai when it was dark. Nobody saw them going there. He employed in verse 12, 5,000 to the west. Now to the west was a city called Bethel. And as we look at, as we read it, not only now were they contending with Ai, they were contending with Bethel as well. The men of Bethel had risen up against Israel. No doubt buoyed by the defeat at Ai, they had joined forces now with Ai. And so Joshua employs 5,000 to the west to deal with those, the Bethelites who were coming from the west. And Joshua and the rest of the men, they said, we will come and attack the city from the front. And in verse 14, we read that Ai, when they saw the army, Joshua's army coming, they came out against Israel. Verse 15 tells us that when the armies of Ai and Bethel came out, Joshua's men fled just as they'd done in the battle that they'd been defeated in. They fled before the men of Ai. So verse 17 says, there was not a man left in Bethel or in Ai. And then the plan that Joshua had brought into being took place. The strategy that Joshua had set in place verse 18, it says that when he stretched out his spear that was in his hand towards Ai, the city was left open. All the men of the city had gone out of it. Those who had been employed behind the city, the 30,000 warriors, came into the city and they set the city on fire. And then the men of Ai saw the smoke ascending from their city as they were pursuing Joshua. And then Joshua holds his spear out, and the men who are now running, they turn around and they start to turn on the men of Ai and Bethel who were coming against them. The men, the 30,000 who were in the city, set the city on fire and they come out of the city. So that in this vast valley, there is Joshua's troops, the men of Ai and Bethel, and Joshua's troops that have come out of the city. And the Bible says they were caught in the middle. And there was utter destruction. That day, nobody was left alive. There was a complete annihilation of the enemy. 12,000 men and women died that day. I want you to notice something in verse 26. It says that Joshua's spear that he'd struck out, he didn't take it back until all of the enemies were slaughtered. Friends, sometimes we take the spear back too quickly. Sometimes we don't see the battle through. Sometimes we do half a job and then leave it. You know, David did a full job when he slaughtered Goliath. He took his head off. Goliath, notice this, Goliath wasn't dead. When that stone hit him, it stunned him, but he wasn't dead. But David finished the job off. He got his own sword and he chopped his head off with it. Sometimes, friends, we need to finish the job off before sometimes we retreat and we don't finish the job off. The Bible says that the king of Ai was taken alive. He too met the same fate as all the other inhabitants. It tells us in verse 29 he was hanged and a great heap of stones was put over him. And so at this place of defeat, now it turns into a place of victory. And friends, if you want to turn your place of defeat into a place of victory, not only do you need to believe the word of God, but you need to have a strategy to defeat the enemy. You need a plan. And if you haven't got one, you need one. Some of us are too haphazard about the enemy that we face. We need a strategy. We need a plan to defeat him. Or we will never know the place of defeat becoming the place of victory. Friends, some of us have been away as leaders and we heard about, you know, having plans. You know, God had a plan. When Jesus came, there was nothing haphazard about the mission that he had. He knew what he was come. I've come to do your will. It's written of me. It's all over in the word of God. The tremendous plan that God had to redeem the world back unto himself. In fact, if we read the word of God, it says God had a plan hatched out before the world was ever created to bring man back to God. Friends, if God had a plan, if Jesus had a plan, we need one too. And if we don't have one, we'll be easy meat for the enemy. To develop a plan, you need time. You need to think. We need to ponder. We need to dwell upon the place where we suffered defeat. How did the defeat happen? What were we defeated in? You see, sometimes we don't take time to think. Don't take time to ponder. Where did the attack come from? Where was it that we were defeated? What are the vulnerable, the weak areas of our lives where the enemy comes? Friends, if those areas of weakness are not strengthened, let me tell you, he will come again and again and again. The enemy, if he's been successful in the past, in some areas in our lives, he will come again to those very same areas. And it's those areas that we need to have built up. We need to soak those areas, those vulnerable areas, in the Word of God. So when he comes, he will find that walls that were down are now built up. And I thank God that the Word of God has got something for every situation in life. Whatever our vulnerable, weak areas are, where we suffer defeat, the Word of God has the answer. We need to find out what God says. The Bible says a city without walls is vulnerable. It's there the enemy will attack. And it's those vulnerable areas in our lives that need building up. We need to become strengthened with might by his Spirit in our innermost being. We need to get the Word of God into us, hiding it in our hearts so that we do not sin against him. We need to have a good confession on the Word of God. We need to be full of prayer. We need to be, our thought life needs to be right, friends. We need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Because if we do not have a plan, think about this for the life groups. I've said, think about an hypothetical situation where somebody's suffering defeat. What would you do in that area? Sometimes we don't think. We just think it'll go away. It'll be okay. But the next time that comes, we defeat it again. And we defeat it because we don't have a plan. We don't do anything. Joshua had a plan. He had a strategy of how Ai would be defeated. And friends, we need to think the areas of weakness and vulnerability, how God can turn those into areas of victory if we have a plan. Another key to turn the place of defeat into the place of victory is to take the offensive. Oft times we are too passive. We are on the back foot. In Israel's golden days, in the days when you can call them really the golden years, were when David reigned. One thing I found in the scriptures during David's reign was this, that during the reign of David, we never hear, apart from one occasion, of the Philistines attacking Israel. Remember the judges? It's always the enemy attacking Israel. But during David's reign, apart from one occasion, it was always David who took the offensive, who took the battle to the enemy. Don't wait until the enemy comes camping at the door before we do anything. The Bible says, be wide awake and alert. Be in a constant and continual state of warfare. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Friends, it's not when the enemy comes. Let me tell you, the enemy's coming. The enemy is coming. He has come. An enemy has done this. And oft times the damage that the enemy does, he does it while we're asleep. Can you remember the parable of the tares? While men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares. It's while we are asleep spiritually that the enemy does his work. Jonathan and his armor bearer, they took the offensive against the Philistines, while Saul and all the rest of Israel, the Bible says, trembled. And that day, because they took the offensive, God wrought a mighty victory in Israel. Some Christians have the misguided notion that if we leave the devil alone, he'll leave us alone. Nothing could be further from the truth. The thief comes. He's coming to steal our goods, to rob us, to destroy our life, to destroy our families. He walks around like a roaring lion. And friends, do not wait for him to do his damage. Do not sit passively and wait before we do something about it. Go out against him. Realize we're at warfare. Have a well thought out plan of attack. Take the weapons of our warfare that the Bible says are mighty in God to destroying Satan's strongholds. And use them to demolish what Satan is wanting to do. We need to get rid of the hold the fort mentality. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Sometimes, friends, we think that the gates of hell, they're standing. I used to think it was like the devil just banging against the gates, and until they crack. I used to have that mentality. And then I realized it's the believers with the battering ram coming against the powers of darkness and the gates of hell. It doesn't say the gates of heaven. Sometimes we think it's the devil battering. Jesus said, I'll build it in the gates of hell. Sometimes we think it's the gates of heaven. It's the gates of hell that will not be able to stand against the church that Jesus is building. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will build my church. Friends, it's because we are so passive that we suffer so many defeats. Israel was hiding in the caves and the hills because of the Midianites. In other words, they were taking a good hiding when God spoke to a man called Gideon and said to him, don't sit here. Go in this your might, and you shall deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Arise from the place of defeat with a well thought out plan of attack and take the offensive and take the battle to the enemy and turn your place of defeat into a place of victory. Now finish with one final thought. Turn your place of defeat into a place of victory by using the weapons that God has given to us. The devil has little cause to fear as long as we are unarmed. As long as we remain unarmed. And he will do all that he can, friends, from keeping us from having a proper understanding of our spiritual weapons. In other words, the devil wants to keep us in the dark. Because he knows that once we have an understanding of the weapons that are ours in Christ, the Bible says they are mighty. These weapons will have a devastating effect upon the kingdom of darkness. Weapons that are not carnal, but mighty in God. In the days when Israel were beset by the Philistines, when the Philistines were on the initiative, on the offensive, the children of Israel experienced an arms crisis. Listen to what the Bible says. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 19, now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. Verse 22, So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan. But they were found with Saul, with Saul and Jonathan, his son. Even when there was a weapon in the hands of Saul, he did nothing about it. Thank God Jonathan did. You see, friends, the blacksmiths, the craftsmen, were among the first people an invading army would carry away. Because the blacksmiths and the craftsmen, they created the weapons of war. And the Philistines really decimated the land of Israel by taking all the blacksmiths and the craftsmen out of the land. The unarmed Israelites were unmatched. It says in the day of battle, only two people had a sword. Friends, farming implements are useless as weapons of war. And Satan wants me and you to remain defenseless. And once we are defenseless, his victory is assured. God does not want the army that he is building armless. Friends, he doesn't want us weaponless. So God has given to his army, his church, weapons that are mighty. Do you know what they are? Do you know how to use them? When I was just pondering this morning, it came to me that David had what the Bible says, mighty men. He had three men who were more mighty than all the others. Friends, God has not given us a weapon, he's given us weapons, plural. There are many weapons that God has given us, but there are three weapons that God has given us that are the most mighty. And friends, we need to get hold of them. He has given to us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's given us this Word, this living Word. Jesus defeated the enemy through the Word of God. Friends, the enemy will laugh at us, scoff at us, unless we know how to use and handle the Word of God. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He has given us the name. Hallelujah. The name which is above every name. That at that name every knee will bow. Jesus said, in my name you will cast out devils. Hallelujah. Victory is assured in the name. Goliath, when he came to David, David said, you come to me with your sword and your spear and all your prowess. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. He's given us the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Friends, thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the blood that Jesus shed. Because the blood of Christ avails for you and me today. And we can have victory through the blood of the Lamb. We need to know what it is. You see, friends, the blood needs applying. Once we apply the blood, once we remind the devil what happened at Calvary, this morning, thank God we've reminded him what happened at Calvary. The victory that was accomplished there. He triumphed over principalities and powers, destroying them by his death on the cross. Thank God for the blood. We sing that song, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Friends, we do not plead the blood. Please understand, nowhere in the Bible does it say that we plead the blood. But it does tell us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. By reminding Satan that his Waterloo was at a place called Golgotha, Calvary. And blood was shed there. and our sins were forgiven, and we set apart, we sanctified, we redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Friends, what a mighty weapon. Every one of them's a study in themselves. And these weapons need launching. You see, they're no good unless they're launched. How do you launch these weapons? Jesus said, you say to the mountains, be removed. Steve prayed this morning that things would be moved in this place this morning. Friends, how do you move things? You speak to them. And the weapon of the word of God is only effective when we speak it out. The blood of the Lamb is only effective when we speak it out and we apply it. And also, friends, we realize that the name of Jesus, when we speak that name, it's not just tagged on at the end of a prayer, in the name of Jesus. All the authority of heaven is behind that name. We took it too glibly, in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh boy. I want to tell you, on the authority of God's word this morning, you can turn the place of defeat into the place of victory. It's time to stand and fight. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand. Church, stop running away. It's time to stand. And having done everything else, keep standing. I read this morning, talking about David's mighty men, I read of Eliezer, one of the mighty men. The Bible says they were all Israel were fleeing from the Philistines. But he stood and he positioned himself in a field full of lentils. And the Bible says he stood in the middle of that field. And as the Philistines, as Israel was running, he stood there and he kept standing until all the Philistines were dead. The Bible says his sword cleaved to his hand. Shema was another one. He stood when all Israel fled, and all God gave him and Israel a mighty victory that day, because men were prepared to stand. Having done all, stand. David ran towards Goliath. Church, it's time we faced our giants. It's time we faced those things that have previously caused our defeats, and to see them overcome in the name of the Lord. Not someday, but now. Victory is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the word of the Lord comes to us this morning. Son of God, child of God, church of the living God, the word of the Lord comes to us. Arise from past defeats. Arise and believe the word of God. Arise with a plan and a strategy to defeat the enemy. Arise and take the offensive. Arise and use the weapons that God has given us. And if we do, your place and my place of defeat will become a place of victory. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Shtepapo kumaria. Sipapoto kufadia. God, we thank you this morning for victory. Thank you for your accomplishments. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross and the triumph of the cross. When we think, Lord, of our defeats and failures, God, we hear your word coming to us this morning. Arise, church, arise. Saint of God, arise. For God has given to you victory. God spoke to you this morning. Will you stand where you are? Just stand. If the word of the Lord has come to you, you've identified God speaking into your life. Arise. Let's do something, friends. Arise. We want victory. We will have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Rise and shine. Let the glory of God come upon you, church. Let's begin to worship the Lord. Let's all stand in His presence. Begin to speak out, friends, the praises of God. Begin to declare over the enemy, though I have fallen, I will rise again. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Hallelujah. Friends, the enemy wants to gloat. But God says, arise. Arise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will stand. We will stand in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray and thank you for a victorious church that you will present before the Father without spot, without blemish. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for the victory. Thank you, Lord God, for the battles that you are going to stand with us in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray for your broken